Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
So from 6 p.m. today, the following measures are being put in place, and they will stay in place until the 29th of March. Schools, colleges, and childcare facilities will close from tomorrow, where possible teaching will be done online or remotely. Cultural institutions will close as well. Our advice is that all indoor mass gatherings of more than 100 people and outdoor mass gatherings of more than 500 people should be cancelled. Arrangements are being made to ensure that everyone entering Ireland through airports and airports is fully informed and self-isolates if they develop symptoms. You should continue to go to work if you can, but where possible you should work from home. And in order to reduce unnecessary face-to-face interaction in the workplace, break times and working times should be staggered and meetings done remotely or by phone. Public transport will continue to operate. The shops will remain open, and we have plans to ensure that supply chains will not be interrupted. We need public and businesses to take a sensible, level-headed and responsible approach during this difficult time.
And it is going to be a difficult time. I want to get your reaction. I have so many questions from so many people, and I would love to have an answer for every single one of you. And we will endeavour before the end of the show to try and get some answers. Like, for example, my school has a confirmation tomorrow. Over 400 people will attend. Will it go ahead? The answer to that question currently at the moment, I don't know. This is all up in the air. I'm assuming from what he said, it will be an indoor event with over 100 people. It won't go ahead. I can only assume that, but that is something you will need to check with your local church and your local school to find out if that's going ahead. It is going to be a very difficult time. I'm thinking specifically of children who are doing their Leaving Cert and their Junior Cert, because this is an unprecedented time. It is in Irish, currently in Irish legislation, by the way, because somebody asked, will they have to make up the 2 weeks? You know, normally if they give kids time off for the weather, they have to kind of make it up during the summer by coming back a bit early. They don't have to, because there is legislation within Irish law, which is very rarely ever used, that it was used specifically if the flu virus went over a certain amount of people, if so many people had died or got the flu virus, which hasn't happened in more than 50 years, I believe. The schools have legislation whereby they can close for 2 weeks without having to make it up again. But at the moment, it's only 2 weeks, but this could be extended. And most likely, if we see more deaths and we see more people getting the coronavirus, and if it spirals out of control, which they predict it may, we may see that being extended. We want to get back to the panic buying a little bit later on and tell people to please stop. I know shops are reporting that some of them have to close their shutters, and there is no need to panic buy. It's completely unnecessary, and I understand the psyche involved in that, but to give us more information on the, I suppose, the psychology of that is Stella O'Malley, who is a psychotherapist and an author. Good afternoon to you, Stella.
Hi there.
Stella, there's two things we want to talk about. First, how we should talk to our children about this, which I think is very important. And we discussed this before in relation to climate change. But in relation to this particular situation currently we have at the moment, why are people, I mean, is it within the human psyche to kind of panic, I suppose?
Well, what's in the human psyche is the brain. And the brain is a problem-solving organ. And we seek the problem so that we can kind of practice what we will do in the situation. So we're kind of giving ourselves practice runs by thinking what's going to happen. But as well as that, the brain kind of goes towards the dramatic. So we're kind of very interested in, let's say, the coronavirus, and we're not so interested in road safety or something like that, because we like the new problem, because the brain is kind of attracted to checking out the new problem because it's never had to think of it
and
before.
And we've noticed that in the media. There's a million other stories happening in the world, but nobody cares about them. We're consumed by this story.
Completely consumed. And once we become consumed, our brain is on it. It's a problem. It's a chess problem. And we're not letting it away until we've figured out what we're going to do. Now, the thing, up until today, we've been living with uncertainty and anxiety. Really, really thrives on uncertainty. It hates it. Anxious people hate uncertainty. And the fact that Leo Varadkar has come out quite strongly today with his kind of manifesto of what we should do, that will immediately calm us a little bit. The kind of heightened anxiety will have been last night. That will have been the worst of it. Because now it's kind of, okay, we're in lockdown. It's happened. And the studies show, weirdly enough, we can handle bad consequences better than we can handle uncertain consequences.
And I understand that, yes, because uncertainty does create panic. But in saying that, since he's made this announcement this morning, and we all knew there was something reasonably serious because he's doing it live from Washington and addressing the nation, We've been hearing stories of shops, supermarkets, people panic buying. Why do people do that when it's completely unnecessary? Because shops, even worst case scenario in Italy, they haven't closed food shops and pharmacies, etc. So why are people doing that?
That's because of a physiological kind of response to stress. If your body suddenly feels threatened, if your brain feels threatened, if you feel anxious, literally your brain goes to the fight or flight, where literally your hands and your legs want to do something, anything, do something. And that's what your brain is telling you. You're feeling stressed, you're feeling anxious, and I just want to do something. And that's why somebody might start pacing, or their hands might get clammy. And literally, even though it's as irrational as buying toilet paper, they feel they're doing something.
That has become quite irrational, the toilet paper thing. Okay, and finally, Stella, in relation to young people, this is what's important. Now, young people, thankfully, are not the most vulnerable in society when it comes to this particular virus, but unfortunately, they do tend to spread it. So, but how do we explain to young people why adults and why the news and why everybody's talking about this thing where they hear people are dying? How do we explain that to young people?
Well, I think you can build huge self-awareness around this at the moment, because we're noticing how we respond to panic and stress. And if you see one of your children kind of getting overwrought, this is a real suggestion that they will get overwrought in times of panic. And you can remind them of how they might have responded with the killer clowns or with the Momo dolls or with other kind of panics that went through their lives as opposed to our grown-up lives. And you can remind them these kind of things.
I've forgotten all about the Momo doll, actually.
Yeah.
I remember
they
that story.
They take hold. Yeah. And by God, they run. And they will remember the Momo doll, and they will remember, and you know, it's a very good opportunity for parents of anxious children to say, do you remember how that, and they could say, oh, I don't want to talk about that, I want to talk about this one. And it's like, no, this is all panic.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you're panicking about, it's just panic. And there's huge awareness they can learn around that.
Okay, so reassuring them that they're all going to be okay, Mammy and Daddy are going to be okay, everybody's going to be okay, don't be worrying about
it. Well, calm vigilance.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you're washing your hands and you're keeping to the rules that the Taoiseach has given us, you should be okay.
Yeah.
That's what you tell them.
And what age group are, I suppose, the ones that we need to give information to? I mean, what age group do you think a child, it's okay to talk to a child in some sort of rational way about this? Would you say kind of 11 years of age? But
would say the younger kids are inclined to panic a little bit more, because the older they are, the more they kind of know a little bit about it. But it's the 8 or 9 who are just like, oh my God, there's a virus spreading around, killer virus. So they're the kids that I'd be particularly looking out for, because the older kids can learn themselves as such.
Yeah.
So it's important that at a kind of age-appropriate way you say to the younger kids, listen, there's an awful lot of talk about this sickness. I don't think you're going to be impacted. We do have to wash our hands so that we don't spread it to other people. But actually, the country has a system. And all we have to do is follow the system and we should be okay. And what we need to be doing is being vigilant and watching how we handle anxiety. Some people handle it with anger. Some people handle it with irritability. Some people handle it by freezing. And just watch how you, and let them kind of start having kind of curious conversations about, oh yeah, I can see how I handle it.
Yeah.
As opposed to...
Because as a parent, if you're handling it badly and you're making silly moves and doing silly stuff and panic buying in supermarkets, well then your children are going to see you panicking and think, why is Mammy and Daddy panicking? Maybe I should panic too.
And can I just say for the anxious parents out there, don't inflict it on your children if at all possible. If at all possible, ask somebody else to talk about it because you've lost your rationality. Because anxiety spreads, and it's such a horrible feeling to try not to spread it over to your children, if at all possible. Try and get somebody else to talk about it.
All right, well, listen, it's been great talking. Some great advice there for parents, how they can talk to their children about this. Stella O'Malley is a psychotherapist and all. Thank you very much indeed. Okay, loads and loads of people texting in about what they should. I want to go to Paul Murphy, Rise TD. Paul, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Niall. Thanks for having me on.
Paul, since the Taoiseach made this announcement this morning, and a very serious announcement, of course, for the nation, and, you know, we all have a great responsibility as a community ourselves, but this responsibility seems to be stretching a little bit too far this morning with stories of panic buying. I mean, and obviously you wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, well, what we have an initiative today about is about price gouging, which is taking place, you know, massive rip-offs, huge price hikes and things like hand sanitizer,
face masks.
And to say that there's a very simple solution to this, and the government should do it immediately, which is that they can introduce price controls under existing legislation. They can do it for 6 months with no need for any passing of anything through the door. They can simply do what the French government has done, and they should do that immediately.
So because we do have price controls on certain items like bread and milk and all those kind of things that are necessary anyway.
Well, what you currently have, actually, interestingly, is you have minimum price controls now, or they're certainly coming in terms of alcohol.
Yeah.
If you know, there's minimum pricing. So similarly, we can also have maximum pricing to say, for example, that for a small bottle of hand sanitizer gel, they can't be charging more than €2, as is the case in France.
I did see a packet of face masks for €110 the other day online. So somebody is
exactly. There was one for €150 even. Like, so some really outrageous thing.
Yeah, and online, I'm looking on Amazon online as well. £30 for a small bottle of hand sanitizer. I mean, you can make your own, probably for a lot less. By the way, just to let people know, there's instructions online on how to make your own. But Paul, I mean, in relation to this particular virus, do you believe that the government are handling it properly? Do you believe that we're doing everything that we possibly can? Obviously, we can't stop it, but certainly we could try and control the curve, so to speak. Are we doing everything we can?
That's exactly it. We need to try and slow down the spread of it so that our, unfortunately, underfunded and under-resourced healthcare system isn't completely
We don't want that to collapse completely, yes.
Collapse, exactly. So I think what's announced today is good, in my opinion. The schools, the big gatherings, etc., all coming to a close. I think that's just necessary. I know it's hugely disruptive to people's lives, but we have to have social distancing, and we have to have government measures to encourage social distancing. I think I would go further than that in terms of, like, the main place that people gather actually on a daily basis is in workplaces.
Yeah, and we discussed this morning in larger factories that might have 400 or 500 people working, you know, at close quarters. That's going to be concerning. And of course, the advice is if you can work from home, but that's not always possible, is it?
Exactly. So I think basically non-essential workplaces should be shut down. Mm-hmm. So where people can work from home, absolutely they should do that. But if people are involved in work that can't be done from home and that isn't essential, I think it is. They are just other mass gatherings in an indoor place, you know, which there is.
So you're talking about the likes of technology companies and people who aren't producing essential goods.
Exactly.
Or services.
We just have to limit the interaction between people at close quarters to try and slow down the spread. And that means also for people who are precarious workers, self-employed people, it means guaranteeing, you know, sick pay at the same rate that people have, you know, built their lives around.
They are bringing in emergency legislation next week, which will be retrospect, by the way, in relation to people taking time off sick if they feel they need to self-isolate themselves, or they feel they obviously need to stay at home for whatever reason, if they have children who are vulnerable or whatever it happens to be. In relation, by the way, to current government and where we stand now, does it help the situation that we're in currently of uncertainty, political uncertainty as well? Is that helping, or do you believe that's affecting the situation at all?
Well, I mean, it's obviously not an ideal situation. But I think, I mean, I don't go
along. I think they're working well together, aren't they, at the moment? They seem to be.
I don't go along with the idea that, oh, because of this crisis now, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have to come back in together and form a government. I think you have a caretaker government in place. They should take the measures necessary, and they should do so in full consultation with all the other parties in the Dáil. And I think, in fairness, you know, surely everybody would agree that, you know, public health has to come first. I think things have been a bit slow in terms of that. I think there was a slowness in terms of St. Patrick's Day. I think there has been.
Would you have cancelled the flights from Italy last week?
I mean, personally, yes, I would have. But I'm just going off of what I'm reading, experts, and so on. I think that, you know, all the indication from Italy is that delay is going to cost lives. So it's welcome that the government is now moving on it.
Yeah.
But I think, like, for example, you know, there's now people with schools shut down. There's huge numbers of people who don't necessarily have the coronavirus, don't necessarily know anybody who knows they have the coronavirus, but who aren't going to be able to go into work. That's simply the truth of it. Mm-hmm. And, like, so the measures brought in last week and we passed by emergency legislation next week in terms of the illness benefit. That's a step forward, and that's an increase. But still, people wouldn't be getting the wages that they were previously on.
Of course, people have to pay bills. Yeah, mind you, I can say that obviously some of the mortgage companies are announcing now that they are allowing 3-month moratoriums for people who have mortgages. Now, you need to check with your own mortgage company in relation to that, but I would imagine most will follow suit. And I imagine most mortgage companies will be quite understanding under the circumstances if you want, once you communicate with them, obviously.
Yeah, and I think we need something similar in terms of people renting, where, you know, you can have people who are, I don't know, people who are precarious contract in the hospitality industry who are going to go from having whatever income to almost nothing or just down to the illness benefit
pretty much overnight, who might not be able to afford their rent. And I think we definitely, at this point in time, I mean, let's discuss other aspects of the housing crisis, but at the very least, let's have a moratorium on any evictions now. And I think people who can't afford to be paying their rent need to be given a break. Exactly how you do that in terms of state support and so on, let's talk about it, but let's not have people being unable to pay their rent and potentially forced out of their homes as a result of the crisis. Or you look at people in homeless hubs.
We spoke to one group who helps the homeless, and they said they are the kind of forgotten in this story, that many people are being obviously forced into hostels or, you know, in temporary accommodation or exactly. even on the streets, who are not getting the assistance and can't self-isolate the way me and you maybe could.
That's exactly it. I mean, the official advice is if you're going encouraged to self-isolate, you should make sure you have an ensuite.
Yeah.
Most people, even people in their own houses,
absolutely
don't have ensuites to spend their time in, never mind people in homeless hubs.
Yeah.
So I think we need to be looking at finding vacant accommodation, making it available
okay.
for people.
All right, well, listen, Paul, it's been nice talking to you. And of course, the main thing that you wanted to make a point there is the government should be looking at legislation to control pricing in relation
exactly.
to those essential goods that we need and during this crisis.
And we're going to have an online petition circulating. It's on our Facebook page, Paul Murphy TD, now on Twitter and stuff.
All right.
People can sign us.
All right. Well, if you want to go to Paul Murphy's Twitter account, you can have a look and sign that particular petition. Listen, thank you very much indeed, Paul. Let me go to Paul Breen, by the way, who is at Tesco's today. Paul, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Paul?
No, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Good, Paul. You were in Tesco's and they had to close the shop.
Yeah, Tesco's Clare Hall. Just as we went to get up, they were pulling down the shutters for entry, and they were making announcements over the loudspeaker that Tesco's was shutting down due to health and safety reasons.
And now, when you say shutting down, they were not allowing any more people in because there was too many people in there. Is that the point?
That's what appears to be the case. Now, they weren't saying that.
I don't want to give the impression they're closing down, because they're not. Okay, so
no,
yeah. yeah.
They're definitely not. They said they should, the security lads were saying they should be reopening within half an hour.
Okay, so it's probably going to be one in, one out situation, I imagine.
I'd imagine so. And the queues, it took 20 minutes to get out of the car park. And as I was coming out, the amount of traffic going in, I can only imagine what it's going to be like within the next half hour or so.
And have you any understanding, because I have no understanding of why, and it's happening not just, by the way, in Ireland, it's happening in the UK, it's happening in America, it's happening everywhere now, where obviously we're talking a lot about COVID-19, why people are panic buying, because there's no reason to panic buy.
Well, I think the reaction seems to be, get what they can while they can get it, just in case. It seems to be...
But the suggestion from the retailers out there and from everybody in the retail industry is that at no stage are we going to be short of food.
But who's to say the shops aren't going to be shut down? They've shut the schools down today.
But look at Italy as the worst case scenario, you know, when it comes to this particular virus at the moment. And they clearly are the worst case scenario per head of population. Sure, even they still have their supermarkets and pharmacies open, even though they're on complete lockdown and all unnecessary shops are closed. Pharmacies and supermarkets still open, and they have plenty of stocks of foods. There's no suggestion that, you know, boats are not going to be allowed into harbours, that the farmers are going to stop working and not producing, you know, vegetables and meat anymore or whatever. That life goes on for those people.
Well, I agree. Well, having just been going in to get a packet of cigarettes myself now, I'm not part of the panic buying population, but that's a shame what I've seen there at the Tesco earlier on.
That's bizarre, isn't it? It's behaviour, you know what I mean?
It is. It's crazy. And the shops, even the surrounding shops, are absolutely crazy. I'm not going to mention any of them, but the ones in the outlets in particular, the shelves are empty.
Yeah, well, there's a pharmacy in there in that little shopping centre as well, and
there's a pharmacy and everything. So, and then on the outlets, they've got the cheaper shops, and all the toilet rolls were gone, all hand sanitizers, most cleaning equipment was gone, and then the butchers was absolutely packed out with people buying meat.
All right, well, listen, Paul, thank you very much indeed, and
no
thanks
problem.
For being thanks, the eyes and ears of the radio station as well. Listen, let me go to Robbie Kane, our reporter, who's actually at Lidl at the moment. Robbie, you're on Classic Kids. Of course you are. You know you are, because you work here. Robbie, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, all, yes, and this pandemonium that's happening today, of course, that was you reporting there. Paul Breen was in Tesco over in Clare Hall. Would you believe it's kind of getting a bit kind of manic here at the moment, because people are looking for milk. There's no milk left at all. It's all gone. Even the low-fat milk is gone. The pasta
This is in Lidl. Little that you're talking about here at the moment.
This is little in Port Marnock, again.
Yeah.
There's no milk whatsoever there. And the toilet paper had just been wheeled out. And that was the main kind of pull for people to get the
What's
toilet
the obsession
paper.
With toilet? I'm looking at it online all over the world. This obsession. It's almost turned a bit jokey. This obsession with toilet paper.
I don't know where it's coming from, Niall. I mean,
do the people believe we're going to be going to the toilet more or something? I don't mean to laugh at it, but I think it's quite bizarre. Now, in relation
Very
to the
bizarre.
Panic buying, I don't guess the panic buying and why people are doing it. I mean, I understand all the suggestions of washing hands and doing all those kind of things, but there's nowhere in the list of the rules and regulations that says get out to the shop and buy as much as you can in the shortest period of time.
And absolutely, as you stated earlier on, the shops are going to remain open. They're not going to close. Like,
no.
Even in Italy at the moment, they're going to open too, to get people to buy their goods that they need. I think people are afraid that if they have to buy their stuff now, or they want to get the stuff now, they can stay into their house isolated for 3 or 4 weeks, if that's the kind of procedure. So I think they're worrying to get all the stuff in now, so they don't have to go out when people are actually, you know, going to be really affected by this disease.
Yeah, but look at the risks.
But
look at the risks they're taking, because what they're essentially doing is kind of contradictory and quite against what we're being told. So there's too many people in one place because everybody's doing it at the same time.
Absolutely, and they're saying the HSC is going to give guidelines and details of what to do, and people are going completely against that. I mean, as soon as the Taoiseach done his statement from America this morning, that was the start of it. As you know, Tesco was letting one person in, one person out. Dunn Stores, I believe, people are talking about Dunn Stores is doing the exact same thing. So panic buying is actually kicking in since, obviously, the last few days, but today after the Taoiseach statement, it's actually kind of gone overboard to the point. And as I mentioned, the toilet paper is here, there's the stacks of it here, so people all around getting that. The pasta is gone, there's no milk whatsoever here at the moment.
Yeah, dried goods seem to be the thing people are looking for. Yeah, dried goods, yeah.
Exactly, but you know yourself, milk only lasts for a few days, so I don't know what the panic is over that. But I mean, like, it's just crazy. I mean,
the cows are not going to stop producing milk tomorrow. I mean, that's not, don't get it, you know.
Absolutely, you hit the nail on the head there.
And you know what, the problem with it is, Robin, I don't want to be bad about this, but there's a bit of a selfishness about this, because you've got young people who can get out, younger people, I'm not saying young, but younger people who can get out and panic buy and go into shops. And you've got elderly people or people who are a little bit more vulnerable who can't get out because they don't want to go into a busy shop like that, and they're left with nothing. So I think there's a bit of selfishness. So if you are going to do your panic buying, I shouldn't do this, you should, you know, think of other people too. And maybe if there's a little woman or a man next door to you, elderly, who can't get out, buy them some stuff too.
I think that's a great thing to kind of suggest and to portray, actually, Noel. Yeah, look after the old people who can't get out of the houses at the moment to try and get the essentials. I mean, the panic point is a bit over the top at the moment. We've all said it behind the scenes. It is crazy. The toilet roll is still, it's mad to kind of see everyone just going for the toilet roll, especially after being wheeled out here today. So people need to kind of take a breather. What we're all going through is this panic, not really a panic, this situation together. So we all have to keep our heads above water and not bloody drown in it.
Yeah, all right. Listen, thank you very much indeed. Robbie Kaler, reporter, who's actually in Lidl as we speak in Port Marnock. And a lot of people, by the way, texting in about different shops that are absolutely packed and people are panic buying. And somebody says, now the preppers and survivalists are loving this. Well, they, you know, we spoke to a survivalist about 3 weeks ago. No, more. No, it's actually about 2 months ago on the air. And I'll be honest with you, we were having a laugh because he was prepping for doomsday, so to speak, you know. Now, not in a mad way, but he was buying, he had enough dried goods and beans and all that kind of stuff for 3 months for his family. And we were kind of laughing at him. When I think about it now, we were kind of, not making fun of him, but laughing with him, I suppose, in some sense. And now, when I look at it, sure, maybe he was the most sensible of all of us, because he's way ahead of the curve on this one. Keep texting. Another person says, "Not. I remember using newspapers, not toilet roll." Yeah, but I'd rather you didn't use newspapers. This is what mass hysteria causes. Added to that is the fact that a lot of these people that are panic buying are using social media as their main source of information. It's crazy. Pass me the Jack's roll. What? What do you mean there's none? Says Gary. Gary is right. You know, people are using social media as their main source of information. Once again, I'm looking at social media and Twitter and constantly seeing the stories about, you know, Dr. Oz says if you take 2 vitamin C tablets a day, you won't get the virus. This is nonsense. This is not true. Some other doctor says if you drink mouthfuls of water every 10 minutes, you won't get the virus. Untrue. These are all untrue. If you hold your breath for 10 seconds and don't cough, you're grand. You don't have the virus. Again, these are untrue. I mean, we got that one yesterday, so we were all doing it here in the office, you know, thinking that maybe it was true. But in saying that, you need to go to the proper source of information, which is the Public Health Service, the HSE. Go to their website. Whether you trust them or not, that's the proper information. That is official information. Not stuff that Mary down the road saw on social media. The best one I saw yesterday was that this is all being controlled by the Chinese and American government, and they're switching on and off the coronavirus with 5G. That's, I swear to God, you have no idea how mental people are. Let me go to John. John, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, John?
Hi, Adam. Thanks very much for this opportunity. Now, I sent an email on the 28th of February to DAA, Dublin Airport Authority.
Yep.
And I asked some very pertinent questions Since that, I've sent two subsequent emails as reminders, and they still haven't responded to any of them.
And what was the crux of your email?
Well, I'm just going to read briefly. I won't keep you that long.
Okay.
I refer to the recent outbreak of coronavirus and its extremely high potential to cause death and or serious injuries to the public. As you should be aware, it could be brought into this country by visitors from other infected countries. And things like that. I noticed a total of 7 questions that I asked. And
what were your questions? So give us your questions. I'm just interested to hear.
Well, just bear with me for a second if you can.
Okay.
I have to get up from another phone.
Oh, well, no, you don't have to read it verbatim. I mean, in your head, I'm sure you remember some of the questions you wrote, but just off the top of your head, what were you concerned about in general?
I asked him about screening at Dublin Airport. Has it been undertaken? Is it being undertaken by medically qualified personnel? If not, why not?
Oh, you want to know if the cleaning was being carried out by people who were trained in sterile situations, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Screening.
Screening. Sorry, I touched on cleaning.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Okay.
And if such examinations, stroke screenings have not been undertaken, please explain why.
But I don't think most countries, John, are undertaking screening.
Well, I mean, given a look, I'm in the tourist industry myself. Yeah. I drive coaches, to be honest.
Yeah, but I mean, the problem with this particular virus, and this is what's been said in relation to screening, some countries, all right, are using the temperature gauge, you know, as people pass by, you know, the thermal imaging it's called, right? So they can tell if somebody has a high temperature. Now, if a person
has
high...
Yeah, they didn't use it on that...
Let me finish, okay, so in that, they could pick up people who just have colds and flus, right? And they also... The girl that went to the north, she may not have been shown signs or symptoms of having the virus. So she may not have had a temperature. The problem is that most people don't have a temperature when they get it first anyway.
You know, I mean...
So how could you screen somebody?
Well, I mean, it's going to take time to do it, but good God, you know...
But how could you do it? I'm not going to go with you.
You see, this is what I said in the email. I'm not a qualified...
I'm not qualified either, but I'm saying to you, from what we know, how could you screen somebody? How?
Send them through a scanner.
So they go through a scanner, or a temperature scanner, which it would be body temperature, and there's nothing on it, doesn't show up, and they've 35 and a half degrees, or whatever the standard body temperature is, 36 degrees. So what do you do then? Yeah.
Well, I mean, if they don't have it...
That doesn't mean they don't have it. You're missing the point, John.
Well, no.
Most people who have it don't have a temperature in the early stages, so that we just let them go. Then that's grand. You don't have it,
but then you have, you know.
And then what happens if somebody walks through? John, you think I'm having a go at you? But what happens if someone walks through and they just happen to have a cold, or they happen to have a bit of a flu?
Yeah.
Do we stop them and put them in isolation for 14 days?
If it takes that,
right?
But the isolation
would be full.
It's all about safety, isn't it?
Yeah, but we could be filling isolation units with the wrong people. So then you put somebody into isolation who has the flu in a big hall or somewhere, wherever you're going to keep them near the airport, because there'll be a lot of people, and you're putting them in with people who might have the virus.
Well, I mean, look, what they're doing in the States, I'm not letting them in at all.
Well, that's
we could do that here.
Okay, screening is not an option. So close, are you saying stop all flights?
Yes, if necessary. If necessary, do that. Of course, why not? Health is more important than money.
All right, okay.
That's my take on it.
Okay, so what other questions did you ask? Just curious.
Well, I asked them to get back to me. I told them everything was recorded, copied and everything.
I'm surprised they didn't respond to you.
The questions are too pertinent.
Well, they're not too pertinent. And there's probably an explanation for every single one of them, I'm sure. And I would like to think they're taking very, you know, positive steps in Dublin Airport, which the DAA would be responsible for. I'd like to think they're taking positive steps, but I think there's a limit to what they can actually do, John. And I understand the point you're trying to make, and particularly if you sent that letter some time ago, it would have been the early stages. Maybe now things would be slightly different. Nobody says, hi Niall, I'm an ordinary Joe Soap and an elderly relation as well as these clowns panic by. None of this worries me whatsoever. What does worry me is an elderly man beside me that won't be able to get a slice pan or a litre of milk. Do the general public believe internet gossip? You're all Muppets. We ain't going to run out of food. You're not going to die of hunger. Once I've a gun to hunt pheasant, duck, etc., says Adrian. I get the point you're making. I think it's, you're right. It's a very selfish attitude to go out and panic buy when you're a young, healthy person, when there's elderly people out there who can't get to the shops. You know what I mean? And just remind people, by the way, somebody texted about the Classic Hits Party, which is supposed to be on the 27th of March. And that has been postponed, obviously, because of the announcement today, of course, that we don't want to be part or do something irresponsible, like have a lot of people in one place at one time. And our, as you know, our parties are usually very busy. So just to let you know, the big party in the Voodoo Rooms on March the 27th, the Classic Kids Party, has now been postponed. And we will give you more details when we obviously designate a date for that at a later date.
I've just been to the shop and my God, I don't think the government said about panic buying. What is wrong? Like, why are people doing that? It's actually frightening other people. Unbelievable.
It is. It is quite frightening to see people panic buying, because we seriously start believing that something is very, very wrong. Now, don't get me wrong, something is wrong and we all need to be conscious of that, but this panic buying is ridiculous.
I know I won't be the first to think this. I might not be the first, but I might be the first to say it today. Should we ask the vulnerable people to go into lockdown instead of asking the whole country to go into lockdown? Totally selfish on my half. Then again, I don't know how I'd react if I got the virus. Mightn't react very well. 43, reasonably healthy. But you just don't know, do you? But should it be the vulnerable and the elderly who should be requested to go into lockdown? And let us, the healthy people, look after them. You know, do our part for that. Whatever you think.
Yeah, you know, it's not a selfish idea if you think about it logically. I know some people might take you out of context because you clearly said you would like to help and support those people. And you are right. And I think the advice is there, by the way, if you are vulnerable or you are elderly or if you have parents who are elderly, is, yeah, when I say put them in lockdown, you got to make them very conscious of, you know, how they shouldn't get the virus. You know, particularly if you've something, say, if you've cystic fibrosis or you've diabetes, and they're talking about asthma as well, people with asthma. You know, you've got to be more conscious because it is more dangerous to you. If you're elderly and, say, over the age of 75 or 80, you have to be conscious that those people are more vulnerable. And yes, they should be self-isolating, if at all possible, as long as they have help from siblings or sons or daughters, you know, to make sure they're provided for and they're looked after. Absolutely. I don't disagree with you at all that we should be absolutely focusing on those people who are vulnerable and making sure they are isolated from us, because we are the ones who are going to spread it to them. Let me go to Greg. Greg, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Greg?
Hi, how you doing? I'm in Tesco's in Liffey Valley. I just come to get a pint of, you know, a pint of milk and a loaf of bread.
This is Tesco's in Liffey Valley. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, people are, there's like, must be, well, just quite a number. There was like 600 or 700 people in here. It was packed. It was like Christmas. People are fighting and pushing each other. I've seen people buying a tray of soup. They are panic buying, and they are being silly. I know the soup's not going off, but they're buying so much fresh stuff. I'm just thinking normal people. The woman was looking at me when I was at the till, and she said, is that all you're getting? I said, yeah, just some tea bags.
Just tea bags and a pint of milk, yeah. I just want a cup of tea, yeah.
Yeah, it was just a box of tea bags. There's no tea bags, there's no bread. There's people fighting. There's not much milk. People are actually going mad. And there's more than 500 people inside here. It's just 100 people.
Isn't this the whole point? This is completely counterproductive, because what you're doing is going into an environment or creating an environment where it's quite possible that you will spread it more than ever before, because thousands of people are all together. Yeah.
But I mean, it's some people like me. I was just going in to get, we just used the bread up this morning. I thought, I'll get a loaf of bread and the milk. I don't, you know, I'm just buying what I need.
Yeah.
The first, there are people going mad here at the moment. Right. Someone would nearly run me down in the car park in a new Range Rover. I was crossing, and she just didn't see me. She was too busy looking for space, driving mad.
Yeah.
She didn't run me down. I mean, you're going to have people getting knocked down. I mean, that poor lady got knocked down the other night. I mean, people have just got to relax a little bit, you know.
Yeah, no, I know, but you can say that till the cows come home, but you know they're not going to relax.
Yeah, but just even be a bit more friendly. People are fighting and arguing.
And what are the queues for the tills like?
They were really busy. It was like Christmas time. There was like 10, 12, 13. Now,
what are you noticing? Is it like bread and toilet paper and...
Everything.
Right, okay, just stacked high in the trolleys.
Yeah, and like the shelves are missing. I mean, loads of milk, the bread, there's no toilet paper, there's no, you know, there's loads of stuff going. I was just walking through, so I wasn't grabbing the meat there. People are grabbing the meat, they're buying tins of like 10 or 12 tins of kidney beans, not like two.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just...
They're going to be living on pasta and kidney beans for the next 2 weeks. Listen, well, it's a good point you make, Greg, and you're right. Absolutely. People are going mad. You need to stop it. That's Tesco's in Clare in Liffey Valley he was in. So he says, now, can you ask if the post office closed? There's no reason why the post office should be closed. There's no suggestion of that, by the way. So, no, I think the answer to your question is no, the post office shouldn't be closed. The person said, there's thousands of sick people. Where are they? I haven't heard anyone call your show. Well, I don't know. They're hardly going to call in and say, how are you doing? I have coronavirus. I haven't seen anyone on Chinese television, Italian television. Leo goes to America. Everyone celebrates in Cheltenham. What happens then when the Cheltenham people come home? Agenda 21, all about vaccination, everyone. Ah, I get you. You're a conspiracy theorist. Ah, right. And you don't believe anyone actually has it because you think, I haven't seen someone with it, so it doesn't exist. So hundreds of people haven't died in Italy, hundreds of people haven't died around the world, and thousands upon thousands of people haven't been very sick from it. Right. You don't believe that, do you? Right. I'll tell you what. Well done to you. Give him a round of applause, everybody. We're going to send you out a tinfoil hat for your head, all right? Clown. Okay, keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number is 087-188-0008. By the way, I just got a call from a courier who says, might be worth mentioning that people need to take responsibility for washing their hands and using hand sanitizer, as there are people I have come into or who have been to work and that cannot work from home. Yeah, absolutely. All right, let me just go to Peter. You're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Peter?
How are you doing? You well?
Go on, Peter.
It's just crazy. I mean, the series want to start putting out bulletins on show, and like what you're doing there, Niall, about this panic buying. I was talking to a mate of mine that works in the butchers, and he said, at this time of the day, normally the meat in place is full. He said, they're empty. Now, he said, we're not going to run out of meat. The massive freezers, he said, there's loads of meat there. But he said, one woman came in, she bought about €300 worth of meat.
For what?
Mature.
The cows are not going to go into isolation tomorrow, or the sheep, or the, you know what I mean?
But are you,
the pigs.
You try and tell people it's the same as that other man going to Tesco's, buy a bag of tea, a box of tea bags, and a pan of bread, and he said the plate, and they're fighting. And he said when he was walking by the shop, he came out from around or something to get something. And he said, you want to see, and the back of the car was full of bags. And when she opened the boot, he said, I don't know how much food she had. He said, where is she going to put all of it?
Where is she going to store all this food? Yeah.
Yeah. He said, it's crazy. I mean, as people said, social media, are people really that stupid, are they? In all fairness.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, we should take all the government advice seriously. We should be conscious of protecting ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
But nowhere in the regulations to say, please run to your local supermarket and spend your week's wages on you know, goods in the first day.
But it was on when Leo came on there and everything. There's plenty of food, and you're saying it, other radio stations are saying it, people, but it's just gone into panic mode now, and you're there. I mean, my God, I don't know. I mean, you go the weekend now, and because... I'm working, or the wife, or other people working. You'll go to the shop the weekend, you won't be able to get high in it because
I won't be able to get a carton of milk for my cup of tea later tonight.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It is. But here's the thing. You're on, Greg was on, Paul Murphy was on the TD earlier on about it, Robbie was on, there was a guy called Brian was on there earlier on, he was at Tesco's and Clare Hall, the gunman. So we're all on saying how ridiculous it is. So who's the ones that are doing it? If we all believe it's ridiculous, why are people doing it?
Oh, I don't know. It doesn't make sense. I mean,
no, it doesn't make
it's
any
out
sense.
There telling you not to store up. I know they're telling you to self-isolate and all. That's fair enough, and go out and get food and stuff. But it's not a mad panic where they're telling you to go out and buy as much to store that don't step outside the door.
Yeah, by the way, I find it even more concerning that there's an individual that texts the show that thinks the whole thing is a conspiracy theory.
Oh,
Yeah, if there's so many sick people, where are they? Why aren't they ringing your show and all? He said at the end, it's all about vaccinations, everyone. He's anti-vaccination.
Yeah, all the
I can tell you now.
The cases, yeah.
I can tell you now. We're all praying for a vaccination for this. Praying for it. apart from him, but because he wouldn't take it, or her, or whoever the person is. So I did say, Helena's just getting the tinfoil hat ready. We're going to send it out to them as a prize on the show. Listen, thanks, Peter. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful weekend.
Cheers.
All right. Okay. Cheers.
Thanks. Cheers.
By the way, just to remind that person who asked the question about the post office, we just verified that one on post services as normal. Okay, so the post office is not closing. In relation to the person who asked about the confirmation of communion tomorrow, if indeed the event has over 100 people indoors, it should be cancelled. And that is the answer to your question. And I don't think that's too difficult to understand for everybody. All events with over 100 people indoors, and all events with over 500 people as well, such as gigs, etc., which might be outdoors, or mass gatherings, all will be cancelled. All right. But again, if you want to get information locally from your own area in relation to local events, the best place to call would be your local event organiser, be it the church, if it's a confirmation or communion, the church or the school. I'm sure they will give you the information. But again, all schools are closed. And all public cultural buildings will be closed. Also, there will be no audiences on television or radio, for that matter, by the way. So the Late Late Show, for the first time, the first time, the snow was pretty bad. They had no audience for that. The Late Late Show will have no audience tomorrow.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hit.